You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a new big party, man.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Cardi. How you doing, man?
Man, Earl, you know my favorite expression is, it's Friday, man. I've been waiting for this day all week.
Well, I'm going to ask this other Yahoo well, on the other hand.
Actually, Cardi, all you have to do to get to Friday is survive Thursday, yeah, and Wednesday, yeah.
So it's Friday. That means my co-host Sandy Williams is on board. Hey, don't I know you?
Yeah, good to see you, old friend. It's been a little while. Yeah,
it's good to see you, man. We've got a lot to talk about, but before we get into all those things. The Buck game the other day, I'm at the Buck game, and it's a listless performance, Sandy. To say the least, it's listless. I mean, nothing's happening. They're down by 24. There's a hole in the boat. And for all the world, it just looks like, hey, man, they had won three or four games in a row, but this was coming to an end.
I'm sure when you left, my good neighbors in those seats, Doc, and
they left too.
Yeah, but they would have accused you of doing a Sandy Williams. So I always leave at about the middle of the third quarter, which was absolutely the wrong time to leave that game.
Well, they left first.
Oh, they did. Yeah,
he said, "I can't take any more of this." He said,
"Doc and Temple are fun, and they're regulars, and
He said, "I can't take any more of this." You know, He's an eternal Buck fan, right? He believes in it.
But
he said, "I've had enough of this," and I'm looking around. It's 24 points down, and well, come on, man. Why am I? And others started leaving, and by the time I get home, something happened.
Yeah, well, and they won by 10 points. Nine or 10 points. Yeah.
Well, Sandy, let me tell you what it is. When they put Porter on the court, when they put what's the backup shooting guard?
Rollins?
Trent.
Oh, Trent. Gary Trent Jr.
Gary Trent. When they put
Kuzma,
and when they put Green out there, they can get after it. I mean, defensively, they're quick, they're fast, they're athletic, and they can put pressure on the other team, and that's kind of they found this now. Oh, and then Porter, and then Portis. Bobby Portis.
Yeah, Bobby. Yeah,
yeah, and then they put Portis out there with those other four, Sandy. They're short. They're quick, they're lethal, and that's what happened.
Yeah, I think they're going to be able to contend with now teams of different types. I mean, there were some team types that the Cavaliers, they just couldn't face up against, but maybe now they can. You know, they've got a whole different kind of play that they can participate in instead of that deliberate half court play. They can do something else.
You know, Sandy, and it's amazing they're doing this without Dame Lillard.
Yeah.
And you kind of see now that with Lillard, they're kind of locked into a type of play. I mean, I'm not saying that Lillard should be jettisoned or anything. I'm not nuts. but they can play a different type of up speed, up tempo, even if he's not there.
Yeah, so I'm hopeful. I think the playoffs could be a surprise in the playoffs, and they could surprise us. I think all of us thought maybe one and done would be almost the fate they might experience again. But I think they might get a little deeper.
Yeah. It was, to say the least, I enjoy watching them now. I watched them last night on television. They were doing the same thing. They were just, they were playing against a team that has five of its players, star players, on injured reserve. And New Orleans only brought eight players, Sandy, to the rodeo.
Wow.
And the Bucks were struggling with them for 2.5 quarters. They only had eight players. And then the dams broke and the Bucks just exploded. So, you know, they're entertaining to say the least. And they're to be quite frank with you, they're healthy at the right time, except for Lillard and Sims going in. Giannis is healthy. Right?
They'll get Sims back. Lillard is the time period for deep vein thrombosis is kind of hard to predict. But you're doing something today that's pretty profound, Earl. I think you're involved with what is it you were telling me about?
The special ed prom, Sandy. You know, I've got on my Voices of the Elders shirt.
Yeah.
And my guys, in which you're a part of, we're going to be over at Washington High School. We're going to get there around noon. And we are going to help transform that cafeteria, Sandy, into, I don't know, you probably don't know anything about Wicked. Wicked is...
Sure. The movie that's a big hit. Yeah,
my
granddaughter has watched that several times at my house. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So we're going to transform the cafeteria to look like Wicked. And 150
or so. To be Wicked, all you'd have to do is just hang around.
Come on, man. And so, Sandy, I'm thrilled. Every year we do this, having all those young people whose lives, you know, for at least this day, they're normal, and nobody looks at them with a jaundiced eye, and just seeing all of them together and reunited is like
so. These are special students, special needs kids, all of whom are. What kind of age range are they?
Well, so there's not just special need children. It goes probably, Sandy, I'd say maybe 8 to 40.
Oh, nice. So it's a dress-up party.
Absolutely.
For a bunch of people who don't have a chance to do that
kind
of thing.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Catered dinner, a dance, it meant, Sandy, it's just the families come. We have an area where, Sandy, if they didn't have prom dress, their prom dress is there. And if they don't have suits, we have suits. There's a place where they can get suits for the night free of charge. There are women
that's fantastic.
There are women there, Sandy, who do the makeup, who do, and then they're different kind of jewelry and stuff that are there. It's a citywide.
And is special. It what is it tomorrow night?
No, it's tonight. Held?
Oh, it's tonight.
Yeah, 7 o'clock tonight. I contacted all of the news outlets, so it should be prominently displayed on all of the local news outlets. They'll be there, and so Sandy, you know.
Maybe I'll come by this afternoon and help you do some decorating.
To see you.
I'll do that.
Yeah, and it's just the whole theme of it, and many of these props, Sandy, have been made by the art instructors and the special ed students themselves. The art instructors across the district help create all of this beauty that you're going to see where we transform the cafeteria, and so.
If there was federal funding for this, I suppose you'd be wanting this
no,
year.
There but, is no, federal, there's no federal funding.
That's good.
It's all through donations. And Sandy, I've been at it for a while. I remember when I first got involved in it, the budget was $500, and they had cookies and Kool-Aid.
Uh-huh.
And I remember saying It's my alma mater, Washington High School, is where this is going to be.
Right, the Pergold.
Yeah, the Pergolders.
Yeah.
Let's get it straight, Sandy Williams.
Okay.
The Washington High School Pergolders.
Pergolders. Yeah. Pergolders, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Sandy, Pergolders.
Durs. Yeah, I got that.
Okay.
Well, and that part at the end is particularly apropos, Olders.
and so, man, I'll tell you, man, you'll see these young people and these people who haven't seen each other for a year, and they come, and man, they embrace, and they give each other high fives, and they, oh man, it's good to see you, hey man, hey hey,
yeah,
and nobody's, and they're not sitting in the corners as they do with the normal, with the so-called normal people at the normal prom, right? Because nobody's looking at them with a jaundiced eye, Sandy. They're free, and you see them blossom.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we look at people, Sandy, who are disabled, and we sometimes think because somebody's in a body that's, you know, kind of tormented, that they are not normal people, Sandy, right?
Yeah.
And that their thoughts and all those kind of things aren't like anybody else's, but they are.
No, absolutely, it's a wonderful thing. You've got so many different avenues that you're pursuing, Earl, to make the world better. But this one, I think, yeah. And people misunderstand so badly, and you know, who knows? This, you know, someone could accuse this of being a DEI activity, but it's
well, you know, holy. You're right. You're right.
Yeah.
And you know, and the government funded, and we can't afford it. No, that's not what it is, right?
Yeah.
But man, absolutely. I look forward to seeing you there. But we got business to take care of. A lot of business. It's only been a week, Sandy. A week since the last time we were on the air. And things have happened, man.
Well,
things
actually, it's been 2 weeks, and in 2 weeks, unbelievable things have happened. But actually, we could say that if it was day before yesterday. You know, I mean, this things the rate at which things are happening and falling apart is dramatic.
855-752-4842. It's Friday, and the one and only Sandy Williams is back in the saddle again on the Earl Ingram Show.
Picket lines and picket signs. Sister. Don't punish me, sister, with brutality. Sister. Talk to me, sister, so you can see.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Sandy, can you hear us?
Oh, yeah.
So let me ask you. So that's the Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey.
Well, that's the March of the Gladiators, which is commonly used as the opening theme song for circuses worldwide. And since, you know, I this expression that sort of started before Trump was elected, which was, you know, if you put a clown in the White House, he doesn't become king. The White House becomes a circus. And I think that's what we're watching right now is a circus. And it's not a nice one. It's not a good one. But there's definitely a circus.
Well, you know, Sandy, we're going to go a lot of different places. But all I can ever do is go back to the warnings that you constantly gave over the years to me and even over these airways about what could happen if, in fact, this Donald Trump got in office. And Sandy, the what you alluded to, it's actually happening. Okay, so now it's happening. What do we do?
Well, and that's what everyone's asking themselves. I mean, business leaders are calling their senators, trying to get their opinions into the White House to try and quiet this craziness, because it's cost the people who have wealth $6 trillion in wealth in terms of the erosion of value of the stock market. But it's much worse than that, because it's created an environment of uncertainty that you can't dispel by changing your mind, because the more you do that, the more people realize that it's the whim of this one guy that's regulating the day. He wakes up on one side of the bed and does something, and wakes up on the other side of the bed the next day and does something else. And when you change your mind repeatedly, you end up with an atmosphere of uncertainty that destroys business confidence about the future and what the future is going to be. And it's that confidence about what the future is going to be that is the most important ingredient to businesses making investments, business making big decisions. Normally, when people think that the country is going to have higher tariffs, it strengthens the currency of that company and that country. And yesterday, the value of the dollar fell, which just shows you that the rest of the world and the people who trade in currencies and the people who trade in debt instruments are exceedingly disappointed with the United States right now and are trying to evacuate from U.S.-held securities. Yesterday, the yield on government instruments went up dramatically, which means the price went down, which meant people were selling them. And the people who were selling them undoubtedly included foreign countries who hold foreign debt. Who hold U.S. debt. And so what these people are telling us, and the thing is about the stock market, is maybe there's no one single person in the stock market or the bond market that's brilliant. But you take the millions of decisions that are made daily in the stock market and the bond market, and those millions of decisions are brilliant, because it's the combined judgment of many, many people trying to assess what's going on. And that assessment is very, very troubling for the United States.
So, Sandy, for the average American who doesn't have any money in the stock market, who doesn't know, what is this a sign of for them? Okay, if people with money are horrified and worried, what does that say then for the average American who doesn't understand that language you just used?
Well, yeah, their portfolios don't drop, but their prognosis for the future gets much cloudier. You know, these companies that are in this realm of uncertainty are not going to add new jobs to the payroll. They're not going to make additional investments in their businesses. Because in order to do those things, they have to be certain that there's going to be a return on the expenditure they make for the new employee, for the investment in the business. And so things are going to freeze, and they're going to get stuck where they are. And when things get stuck where they are, it doesn't stay that way. They go down. Okay, recessions are built from people, from businesses being stuck in the position of not being able to make decisions about the future. And so business confidence dropped, the probability of recession being predicted by all kinds of sage financial predictors has gone way up. He's done so much damage to the image, not just the image, but the reputation of the United States from the standpoint of a military alliance, as well as being an economic trading partner, that people, the rest of the world, is trying very hard and very quickly to make us as irrelevant as possible, and in particular to try and get out of being dollar dependent, because this dollar is no longer such a non-volatile thing that can have in which they can rest great confidence. It's confidence in the dollar that has been the basis for the dollar as the reserve currency.
You know, Sandy, the more you, there were celebrations the day before, Donald Trump came on and he said, when he backed down.
Yeah.
And he clearly tried to make it appear as though, you know, well, people were shaky and people weren't willing. So he listened, Sandy. He actually listened to somebody because it changed for, if only for a short period of time, it made him back off. So who was he listening to and what was he hearing?
Well, I mean, that's the whole problem, is that this man doesn't have a basis for general having consulting advice from a broad panel of wise people. It's the last person to talk to him. It's his gut. It's his instinct. And that's what's wrong with authoritarian governments. Does the United States and all of its people want to depend on the whim of one person? Or would we rather that the policies that are adopted are the result of a great deal of deliberate thought? Clearly, when he backed off, it wasn't the sort basis of a lot of deliberate thought. And the stock market the next day scratched its head and said, you know what? We're going to sell.
855-752-4842. It's Friday. It means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
Isn't it rich? Are we a pair? Me here at last on the ground, you in midair. Send in the clowns. Isn't it bliss? Don't you approve? One who keeps tearing around, one who can't move. Where are the clowns?
They're already.
Send in the clowns.
Yeah, the clowns are in the White House. We know where they are.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, Texas. That same number. That's Frank Sinatra.
Yep.
Yeah. The one and only Frank Sinatra. You know, it's Friday. That means Friday is my co-host, Sandy Williams. You know, Sandy, before we get back to things, Cardi played the rest of that first tune all the way through. I'm a sucker for brass and in the symphony. Always have been, always will be. And I didn't, that first tune that you played, mm-hmm. to hear it all the way through and all that brass, man.
Yeah, and that was, ironically, the military marching band, the U.S. military marching band, which appropriately was playing the circus song, I guess, in today's world.
Oh yeah, great music. Great, and so was his last one. So Sandy, we're talking about what is on the horizon, and I was reading some responses from a bunch of MAGA people who are still saying if they had to vote for Donald Trump again, they'd vote for him. They love him. Everything he's doing is great. But I also noticed, before we get into all these other things, Sandy, what happened to Elon Musk?
Yeah, well, you know,
where's he at?
You know, the psychologists, there's a thing they deal with called cognitive dissonance, and it's the inability of people to back off from a notion they had that would otherwise suggest that they were foolish. So, hazing to get into a fraternity. If you're hazed in doing all these crazy, stupid things in order to enter the fraternity, your mind makes two decisions. Either one, I'm going to get out of this. I don't want to do this. It's crazy. Or two, I'm going to do this because joining the fraternity is such an important thing that I'm going to commit myself to it. And that's the element of cognitive dissonance. It's like, either I'm a fool or this is a really good idea. And I think that MAGA people are all going to have to deal with the cognitive dissonance of trying to resolve in their mind what the reality is as compared to just simply trying to avoid a self-admission that would make them uncomfortable. But I think it's going to happen as people watch what's going on. As I said to you before we went on the air, you know, people have talked about and worried about how it is that the Trump administration could become authoritarian. Well, folks, it is authoritarian right now. What we're watching happen, calling universities on the carpet for simply being liberal institutions under the guise of suggesting that they involve anti-Semitism, threatening to withhold federal funding from them in a manner that would be highly destructive in order for them to then acquiesce to policies that are simply the whim of the president, bringing the reign of power down on law firms and demanding that these law firms either toe the line and do the kind of law that the president directs them to do. One of the firms agreed to do $100 million of pro bono work at the instruction of the president. And a couple of days ago, the president kind of whimsically said, you know, I think I'm going to instruct these law firms to do work on behalf of the coal industry. What kind of a situation do we have where the whim of the president can threaten to destroy major businesses unless they toe the line? And you know, people can say, well, these are just law firms. Well, he's suggesting to these law firms that he will bar their clients from being able to do business with the federal government if they don't come in and talk to him and reach an agreement with him of how they should behave going forward. Yesterday, he issued an executive order directing the Department of Justice to investigate two people who used to work in his administration, whose crime was one of them wrote a book that was negative about him, and the other one appeared in Congress and testified in a manner that suggested that there were problems in the way he was suggesting that there were defects in the vote and that the vote was stolen. He's directed the Department of Justice to investigate these people. He's also said that the businesses who employ these people shall be barred from federal work in any fashion. One of those people works for the University of Pennsylvania, and the other one works for a private business. I mean, this is the kind of conduct that dictators who we would deride as being strongmen of the worst sort would carry out. This is repression.
So, Sandy, is this just a one-off, meaning once Donald Trump is gone, all things go back to normal? Or is this a sign of the times? Because whoever comes up next, if they're a Democrat and they saw all of this damage that this man did, how can they resist going back and undoing?
Well, either the American public rebels against this and stands up against it to make it clear that you can't operate like this, or every incumbent president in the future will be pushed by his party or her party to use all the tools of government that have been demonstrated to be effective. And so, you know, that's what Donald Trump is demonstrating, ways in which the tools of government can be used by an executive to get their way, okay? And so I think that either the American public says this is not okay, or this is going to be the kind of behavior we're going to see going forward from whoever it is that's in office.
So, Sandy, we're talking about Donald Trump. The Senate passed a budget that included this major tax cut. And so you and I know, you've talked about it all the time, at the root of all the things that are being done is this major tax cut. And so even though they've said from the beginning, we're not going to touch Medicaid, we're not going to touch Social Security, Sandy, they have no choice. If they go through with this, they've got to touch those things, right?
Well, not only that, but the budget includes this tax cut, which has a $4.5 trillion cost over a decade. But the president announced that he wants the defense budget to go up by $160 right. billion dollars to over $1 trillion. So that $160 billion is probably going to eat up every dollar of savings and more that the DOGE commission is trying to find in the way of savings. And so, you know, we've not only we're talking about decreasing revenue by a much more than the DOGE savings could accomplish, but we're talking about increasing expenditures, at least in the defense side, by I think a number that is going to exceed any number that is actually factually going to be saved by these activities of the DOGE committee. So yeah, what we've got is an administration that is actually announcing, and the Republican Party, which is backing the principle of having bigger deficits going forward and growing the national debt at a more rapid pace.
You know, Sandy, at the same time, you know, when you look at all the tariffs and the impact that's going to have, and I was talking to somebody other, well, Earl, that's only China. You know, he's not going to be dealing with anybody else. It's only China, for heaven's sakes.
Well, that isn't the case. Paul Krugman had a very good article this morning in the New York Times. No, he's implemented a 10% international tariff on every country that exports to the United States. Those goods will bear a 10% tariff borne by the American buyers, number one. So that's in place. And there's a higher tariff on aluminum and a whole bunch of the primary parts that go into things. And so, no, we've got a tariff that if you disregard what he's done to China and you take the average tariff level and apply it across the board, that average tariff level is going to exceed the tariff that was the Smoot-Hawley tariff that sank the U.S. economy in 1931.
So, Sandy, let's paint a picture. They passed this budget. They get to $4.5 trillion over 10 years. They cut. We're going to be facing, many say, possibly a major recession and possibly epic recession, which is going to impact and affect the average American worker. They're cutting the safety nets, Sandy. At the same time, they're cutting the safety nets. Where does that leave these people?
And of course, a recession also robs the federal government of revenue, which increases the deficit. When you have bigger deficits during recessions than you have during boom periods. Right. And so, you know, the prognosis is very, very ugly. And the notion that they would decide that Medicaid ought to be shrunk, we ought to make sure that people who have no money get no medical care, or we're going to reinstate charity hospitals and ask hospitals to give away their services as an alternative to the government funding them. That's a very chaotic kind of a process and an inhumane one, clearly. But the lack of financial discipline that's being demonstrated by what's going on is it's unbelievable. You know, this is the furthest thing from the bedrock of a Republican principle.
So for people who don't know, Sandy, I am frightened because as long as I've known you, I've never heard you speak in a manner that you're speaking now. I've always heard you tempering your conversations on all of these things. I would always say to you, recession's coming. Oh, no, there's not going to be a recession. I haven't ever heard you speak in the terms that you're speaking now.
Well, you know, because I've never seen purposeful conduct that is so clearly designed to destroy the economy as what's going on. But I mean, we're watching arson at work here. This is not being done in the dark of night. We're burning down our economy right now as we watch. And it's a reckless experiment done by people who claim that while this pain in the near term is going to be possibly quite extreme, it's going to be worth it because it's going to change the entire world's economy and change trade in a manner that will bring many jobs back to America. When the fact is that when you evaluate those, all of those kind of objectives and try to test how that how that could play out, the odds of it playing out that way are infinitesimally small. And the fact is that we're watching a reckless experiment with a very, very, very low likelihood of success and a great deal of pain being experienced. And the pain, unfortunately, is experienced by Tom, Dick, and Mary, people who have no dog in the fight.
You know, Sandy, hang on, 855-752-4842 is the number. You know, again, Sandy, as I stated, despair is going to be the order of the day. Regardless of what Trump and his people say, despair is on the horizon, and global despair. 855-752-4842. My co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
Just when I'd stopped opening doors, finally knowing the one that I wanted was yours, making my entrance again with my usual flair. Sure of my lines, no one is there.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, Texas, that same number. That's Fry, that means Fry's my co-host, Sandy the Music, Sandy.
That music, if we'd let it go further, was an actual Barnum & Bailey sideshow call artist who was describing what it is that people might see if they went into the sideshow tent. And unfortunately, I'm afraid that the White House has become something closer to a sideshow tent. But
Sandy, you're painting this bleak picture, and everything that I read and hear, the rest of the world is worried, and so this man has come in and upended basically the economy of the world he's attempting. And as you stated, it's an experiment. I heard one of them say on Meet the Press, it's an experiment. Man, what are you talking about, man? How do you experiment with people's lives?
Well, I mean, the problem is that you would experiment if you thought that the economy was in such desperate states that you have nothing to lose by essentially breaking it and trying to remake it. But the problem with that is that the economy wasn't in desperate straits. When Donald Trump left the White House in 2020, he announced that he was leaving the strongest economy that had ever existed in the world. And in 2024, he inherited an economy which was even stronger than the one that he left, okay? And so he himself had described the economy that he inherited as being the best ever. And yet he's decided and tried to create a straw man out of it, saying it's in such horrible condition that we've got to take a hammer to it and remake it. And that hammer has so much risk associated with it that the whole world's financial community is holding its nose and is having a great deal of problem with it. The rest of the world is busily trying to make the United States as irrelevant as possible to it. And of course, the strength that the American economy has had is that it is extremely relevant to the entire rest of the world. You know, our foreign policy power, much of it is based on our largesse, and Donald Trump has gone to great pains to destroy the notion of American largesse in the international world of international affairs. And then in the world of international trade, he's basically said he's going to try and balkanize the world and block the people from having involvement in the U.S. economy. So he's implemented these across-the-board 10% tariff. And that tariff is a significant impact. He's also in put special tariffs on aluminum and steel and a bunch of primary products and chips and things that are extremely important. And China, which is a fundamental part of our supply chain, now has a prohibitive tariff on it. And these things, there's a notion that the rest of the world is going to want to come and trade and give things up to the United States in exchange for avoiding this 10% tariff. Well, the European Union average tariff on American imported goods is 1.5%. They can't get much lower than 1.5%. So this notion that there's going to be a Mar-a-Lago accord and that all these countries are going to come forward and negotiate things and give America
and
victories.
It, and kiss its backside.
Yeah, it's not going to happen because they don't have anything to concede to us because they've already established a very fair and level playing field. Peter Navarro would claim that the value-added tax in Europe is some kind of a barrier, even though it's applied to every automobile, for instance, made within the European Union, as well as the cars imported into the European Union. They all pay the value-added tax. It's a sales tax paid by the customers. It's all based on fallacy. This is what happens when you have an authoritarian ruler who can issue edicts by executive order, which are not based on sound advice from a knowledgeable counsel, but are simply based on instinct and whim.
So, guys, hang on the phone lines. We're going to come to all of you after the break. You know, Sandy, you. In the meantime, when business leaders and others are threatened and they're worried, what's happening with Donald Trump's business? How is he faring during all of this?
Well, I'm confident that Donald Trump's family enterprise put itself into cash several months ago, is in a position to bottom feed in the loan market. Undoubtedly, if we did an investigation, my guess is that Eric and Donald Trump have been selling things short for a number of months that so they could profit from a downward spiraling market. Donald Trump is way too sanguine about a collapsing market to not be profiting from it, okay? He would be the first to worry if his money was plummeting.
So it's pretty safe to say he'll come out of this smelling like a rose.
Well, he already is. I mean, his cryptocurrency, the various policies that he's implemented, the deals that are being done by his enterprise abroad. His net worth has already multiplied in the several months since he's been in office.
855-752-4842. Guys, we're coming to the phone lines, after the break. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And all right, man, a lot to talk about. 855-752-4842. My co-host, Sandy Williams, and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.